I want to share with you today about a dream that I had. And this dream led me into a particular scripture that is my emphasis for this morning, which I believe it actually fits and ties in very much with what Pastor Eugene Weaver last night shared. We are all just so connected and so in sync what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I just so appreciated his word last night that was just, again, so confirming that I'm to give this particular word this morning. And so this dream that I had, I felt a large figure standing right here on my left-hand side, and I do believe it was the Lord. It was huge. It wasn't sometimes I feel and sense angels around, but I felt it was like the Lord just standing beside me, and he was going to make a little point to me. And then there was another figure that was standing in front of me. And so, I was talking to this person, but I didn't really know who this person was. But I just came out and started to say, you know, I'm supposed to change the name of my ministry. And I believe God has told me to change the name of my ministry. Name of my ministry is First Love Ministries International. And so I said, I believe I'm supposed to change the name of my ministry. And so the name of the ministry that I believe that God has told me to change the name of is Nothing is impossible with God. I was thinking about last night's message when Pastor Weaver was speaking. But I said, I feel I'm supposed to change the name of my ministry and that nothing is impossible with God. And so this person or this figure or whoever it was and standing in front of me said, that's stupid. Why in the world would you change the name of your ministry? Why in the world would you change it to nothing is impossible with God? I said, well, I like that. I said, I like that scripture. I like that word. I like that. And I believe in that. Well, that's stupid. There you go again. Always coming up with something ridiculous. There you go again. You know, that mocking spirit. That mocking spirit that taunts us and tries to say to us, you believe that? That's crazy. Why in the world would you believe that? And why in the world would you want to change the name of your ministry to nothing is impossible with God? And so this figure said, well, I never heard of a ministry named that. And I said, I believe that God has told me. And so this mocking spirit kept going back and forth and back and forth. And after a while, I said, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. I'm going to name my ministry this, and nothing is impossible with God. So I just shouted it and shouted it and shouted it. And I had to come to a place in my being where I so believed it that finally I woke up. And I realized it was only a dream and that the Lord was standing there watching me. And I said, well, God, well, why are you standing on my left side? He says, well, I can stand on any side of you that I want. Because we think in our mind, well, it should have been on the right side if it was God. Should have been on the right side. But no, he stands all around. He's in front of us. He's behind us. He's on our right side. He's on our left side. It doesn't matter where he stands. He was just standing there watching me and watching me even in my dream to see what I was going to do. Was I going to yield to that mocking spirit or was I going to stand my ground and declare that nothing is impossible? And the Lord wanted me to believe it and say it. So then I was able to wake up and then I realized, oh, I don't have to change the name of my ministry after all. I didn't have to change it. I just had to believe it. I had to believe it for what I was doing and would believe it for the particular call that God had on my life. And I believe this is what the Lord is saying to all of us. We have to believe it. But he wanted to show me some things. And so that morning, as I was just thinking over this dream, and I said, this is amazing, because I felt like I lived that dream. I lived it. And sometimes there's battles that go on in our lives, even in our dreams. There's battles that go on in our lives, you know, from day to day. Different things happen to us. So that morning, I found myself going into the book of Luke, and if you would like to turn into the book of Luke, you can. We're going to go through a variety of scriptures here in the book of Luke, but this is where he took me that morning. And I've been living in this for a good little while now. But I'm going to start to read from the fifth verse, and I'll stop at different places where I'll just share with you some things that God has been ministering to me. Each and every one of us has a different way by which God reveals things to us, and even the way that we preach or teach or share the Word of God. And I want to share with you just some thoughts that the Lord has put upon my heart. I have a simple message. I'm a very simple person, so I have a simple message. But I'm just so grateful that it has really affected me, this particular message. It's all about John the Baptist, and I thought, again, it was very interesting because Pastor Eugene talked about John the Baptist last night as well, and I just sat there, and I was just, again, so blessed. But it says here, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was, this is Luke 1, chapter 1, the fifth verse. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And many times as God is allowing me to go through scripture, he gives me the different names, and sometimes he gives me a word or a prophecy or just an emphasis, and he's given me a message through a name. And so as I was looking this up and seeing that Zacharias' name is Jehovah Remembers, Jehovah Remembers. And God is speaking to me, and he's speaking to you that he remembers you. He remembers what he spoke to you. He remembers me. Sometimes when you think that he doesn't remember you, and you're wondering, well, God, you try to remind him about what he told you years ago, or what he said about you as an individual, what he said about your calling, your destiny, the fulfillment of what he wants you to do. You said, God, do you remember me? And what he's saying to us this morning, he remembers you. So Zacharias' name is important to us this morning because it has everything to do with what God is speaking to us. And it is that he remembers. And of course, I love Elizabeth's name. Many of you may be named Elizabeth. But God is a God of an oath, a promise. What the Lord has started to speak to me that morning as I had that dream and I was battling in the spirit. And then when I woke up and he had me go to the scriptures and he says, I remember you. And he says, I've promised. What God has promised you, it will be fulfilled. What he has promised, GCMF, it will be fulfilled. Do you hear me this morning? Simple names, but the names mean something, and they mean something not just for when this was written. It means something this morning to you and to me. And so I was looking over that, and I said, oh, my God, I thank you. Because sometimes things happen to you, one thing after another, and then you have to stop for a moment. He said, well, Lord, help me to even remember. You remember me, remember what you've told me, but I need sometimes to remember. Bring back to my remembrance the things that you've spoken. So as I was going through, we're going to go through verse the next verses, it says, and they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. And I just want you to remember this sixth verse, even as we go through the scriptures here. We're used to this particular story. We're used to hearing about Zacharias and Elizabeth and about John the Baptist. But I want you to just think about this. This was a righteous couple. They were righteous, the scripture says, but they had their own humanity to deal with. And so the Lord is not shocked with our humanity. Do you hear what I'm saying? He made us. He molded us. He shaped us. I mean, he took us from the dirt. He knows exactly what we're about. He remembers it quite well. And it says here, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were advanced in years. Doesn't matter how old you are, the Lord is still birthing. And I feel in my spirit that GCMF is about ready to birth. I feel in my spirit that each and every one of you, I know myself in the spiritual realm, we are about ready to birth something new. Now it came about while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his days, of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. To burn incense. This incense representing, especially for us this morning, and especially in the day that we're in the body of Christ around the world, is we are moving into a new season of prayer. We're moving into a new season of the incense of God, creating that incense of God. I'm using this as, especially with prayer. And so the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of incense offering. The whole multitude was out there and they were praying. And the Lord continues to speak to my heart. There is an increase of the multitudes coming into the place of prayer, coming into the place of worship, coming into the place of their priesthood. Don't care what particular role or function that you and I are called in terms of fivefold ministry. Our first call is to be a priest, is to be the priest of the Most High God. We are called to worship. We're called to pray. We're called to bless and honor God. We're called to minister to him first. Our first calling is to be a priest. We're called to be a priest. So anyway, in the 11th verse, it says, just taking us through, it just says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias, it says here, he was troubled. He was troubled, for he saw, when he saw him, and it says here that fear gripped him. Zacharias, a man of God, a righteous man of God, there's no denying about his righteousness. No denying that he is a man of God, and he is gripped with fear. What so often happens to many of us, if we were honest from time to time, I believe that that happens to us. Is anybody honest here? Is anybody honest here? Some people would say, well, I'm never, never afraid. Fear never bothers me. Well, bless you. But I need God. And when fear tries to come against me, I know who to go to. I know who to speak to. I call my Lord, and I then take authority over fear, over intimidation, over when it tries to come near my particular dwelling. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying that after this many years of ministry, I have not met anyone from my particular knowledge, anyone that has not run up against their own humanity, that has not run up against their shortcomings, that has not run up against their failures, that has not run up against something inside of them that deals with just their own stuff. That's because We're human and we need God, and He allows us to go through things in our lives so that we can remember it's not us. We talk about it's not about us, but it isn't about us, but yes, it is about us. It's about us because it's all about Him. And because it's all about Him, it's all about us. It's about us being delivered, and loosed and set free and coming into the greatness of what God wants us to come into so we can bless and honor Him. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. 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 It says He was gripped with fear, a righteous man. How dare that righteous man be gripped with fear? What's wrong with him? He's not righteous. If he were righteous, he wouldn't be gripped with fear. What's wrong with him? Do you hear what I'm saying? Because we are the first that when one is down, to step on him and take him down a little bit further. We are ones that we do that to one another. And God is all about love. He's all about forgiveness. He's all about encouragement. He's all about saying, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. Come up from that. This is what the Lord is all about. And this is what He was about with Zacharias. It was all about taking Zacharias into a new place because Zacharias was gripped with terror. Terror. He was gripped with alarm. And then the 13th verse is so key because it says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your petition has been heard. It says here, your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. Jehovah is gracious. What God was sharing with me that morning after I went through that dream is that Zacharias had been so attacked by the fear it gripped him that God was going to be so gracious. He answered his prayer regardless. He determined, and I'm going to share this, and we're going to see it a little bit later, but where he was so determined, guess what, Zacharias? I'm going to send you a baby named John, full of grace, representing the grace that I had on you, even when you did not believe me. I want to tell you, I'm living in a time in my own life where, you know what we're saying, it's not about you. It really is the truth. Because if God wants to bring something through, if God has a purpose, it doesn't even matter if you don't even believe it. I want to tell you this morning, it is important most of the time that you believe it. It is important that you get out of the way. But I want to tell you, sometimes He's going to bring it about because He said it, and it's all about grace. It's all about grace. Because if you sometimes would be this tremendous, well, I'm a tremendous man or woman of God. I'm a tremendous man and woman of faith. And guess what? My faith came through. And guess what? It happened. Do you hear what I'm saying? If pride and arrogance comes in the way and you're so full of what you think is your faith, guess what? Sometimes it ain't gonna happen. Because it has everything to do with your heart more than what you say. It has everything to do with your heart more than what you say. Sometimes when even you don't even think it's going to happen, the Lord would send an angel and said, guess what? You've gripped with fear, but I'm answering. I heard you. 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 He heard me. I said, Lord, I don't deserve it. He says, that's right. I don't deserve it. I know, oh God, what I did. I know, oh God, what I said. I know, oh God, what I felt. It has nothing to do with that. It's all about my grace. Do you know what grace is about? Oh, we're all learning. It's not that we didn't already know. We knew, we know, and we're going to know. Do you hear what I'm saying? Past, present, future. What I'm saying is that we are coming into another level. There's always another level. There's always another level. I don't know everything, and neither do you. John. It says here, John 14th verse, we're just verse by verse, we're just taking us through, but I'm just sharing with you what he spoke to me that morning. I spent hours that morning after that dream because he was working something fresh in me. This is so familiar that we can just kind of almost brush over it. And I just found myself every time I read it, it's so revelatory and it's so exciting to me. And it just feeds my spirit, feeds my soul. And then when it says in the 14th verse, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, is saying when your prayer gets answered, you're going to have joy. You know, just think about it. Has there been times in your life when you have prayed, you've asked God, and sometimes you say, I believe it, I believe it. And inside you're saying, okay, God, I'm wondering, do I believe it, do I believe it? And sometimes says, yes, I do believe it. But sometimes the Lord just bypasses. Because he can do whatever he wants to do. He can say whatever he wants to say. I mean, do you hear what I'm saying? And sometimes we believe on the inward part of us, and people assume we don't believe, or vice versa. Sometimes people think we believe, and on the inside of us, we're not believing. But God loves us. He came for us. He came for us to fulfill his purposes, eternal purposes here on this earth. Says in the 15th verse, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. While yet in his mother's womb. You mean John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit? You mean nobody laid hands on John the Baptist? What do you mean? What do you mean that he got baptized in the Holy Ghost? Even then, he was filled with the Spirit of God. My goodness, in his mom's womb, in Elizabeth's womb, the Lord is filling his people with the Holy Spirit anew and afresh. And I believe while we're here, God's going to be doing that afresh in the Holy Spirit, filling us anew. Says again, and he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Do you mind, Mike, just taking us through each scripture like this? Are you enjoying this? Isn't this good? The word of God is good, right? I mean, just preaching, and preaching's not but standing up and just reading the word of God anyway, or speaking it, or expounding on it, but it's still the same thing. And it says in Zacharias, said to the angel, how shall I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. Now, he's asking a question. Nothing wrong with questions. We know later in the scriptures, which I'm not going to read this, but we know that Mary asked a question. Nothing wrong with questions. You can ask the Lord questions. But it was something about the righteous man's heart when he was asking the question. But God was about fulfilling what Zacharias asked, what he had purposed in his heart, in God's heart. And he was going to answer the heart of Zacharias. And as I was looking at this, and then the 19th verse, as I was going through that morning and going through this, and the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And it was almost like when I was reading this, it was almost like Gabriel was saying, now, Zacharias, I just told you what God said and what's going to happen. And don't you realize I stand in the presence of the Lord? Don't you realize I have something that God has said and now you should believe it? That was kind of, as I was looking at that, it was almost like he was saying, Zacharias, what's wrong with you? But it's okay. God knows who you are. He knows what you're going through. And then 20th verse, it says, and behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time. Silence. I love silence. Sometimes we talk too much. Silence. There's a proper time. As I was reading this that morning, sometimes we talk too much and we don't listen. God heard Zacharias's prayer and he was going to make it happen. But the Lord so loved Zacharias. And I've heard many people preach on this particular word and they put Zacharias down because he was a man of doubt. He was a man of fear. He was a man that didn't believe God. And, you know, you think sometimes when you're going through trials and tribulations and you have somebody, you know, talk to you and put you down and make you feel like 2 cents. You know, you're not a woman or a man of faith the way you should be. You're not this, you're not that, da-da-da, da-da-da. But instead, I believe during that silent time, the Lord lovingly spoke to Zacharias. He didn't beat Zacharias up. I'm convinced. Maybe this is just part of my, you know, we each have a gifting and calling, and I'm one that likes to encourage and bless, and I'm always looking at the good side of it. I know there's a negative side, but let me go to this side. And I just want to tell you, I just feel like this silent time with Zacharias, the closing of his mouth wasn't just because he didn't believe. Yes, he was going to go through a season of time where the Lord, I believe, loved on him and encouraged him and built him up with that intimate relationship with him that he did not come, rather just, he just released the fear, release the terror that was in him, the doubt and the frustrations of just his own stuff that he goes through, his own stuff like each and every one of us go through. I believe he was going through this time. The silence was wonderful. The silence was not a punishment. And sometimes we look at it this way. We look at, well, see that? If he had believed God, he wouldn't have made him, you know, quiet. He wouldn't have made him shut up his mouth. But it was a loving thing that the Lord did so that he and God, Zacharias and God, could have this wonderful time together. This wonderful time to just talk, just for him to start to speak things into his spirit, not to condemn him, but to bring him along with him. It was actually a wonderful prayer closet. I believe it was a wonderful prayer closet. The 21st verse, but let me just touch on this one point too about the 20th verse about proper time, an appointed time. That sometimes this is what happens to us, that there's a proper time, there's an appointed time that the Lord has something for us to do. And it's not always in our time. And it can become very frustrating. Does anybody around here think that maybe they might agree with me with some of the things I'm sharing with you? What was that? Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, like I said, I've been around a long time. I've actually been in ministry for 40 years, more than 30. I've been in ministry for 40 years. And believe me, I know what I'm talking about, not just because of me. I've lived with me for a whole lot of years, but I've lived with a whole bunch of other people for a whole lot of years. And I tell you, mercy, love, grace wins. It wins. It wins. It wins. In the 21st verse, it says, and the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. And I said, oh, I love this word, silence. I love this word, delay. I love this word. I didn't used to like that word, silence and delay, but I absolutely love silence. I love sometimes to get along with the Lord. We shout here, and I love to shout, and I can shout with the best of them, and I can dance with the best of them. But oh my God, I love to be alone with the Lord and to be silent. To come into his presence where there's a holy hush and then you're silent. But now I'm beginning to like delays. Because when certain things are a little bit late, guess what? They're a little bit better. They're better sometimes when they're delayed. Your delay is going to be better. It's going to be better than what you thought. Your delay is going to be better. It's better than what you thought. Your delay is going to be better. It's better than what you thought. You thought you wanted it then, but it's better later. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And it came about when the days of his priestly service was ended that he went back home. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. Is that not a neat, neat thing? That's wonderful, because the Lord allowed Zacharias to get quiet. He was going through his waiting time. But now Elizabeth is pregnant. So sometimes when things are not happening the way you think it should, guess what? You're going to be pregnant. If it's silence, silence. She said, God, wait a minute. What's happening? Nothing's happening. That means you're becoming pregnant. You're becoming pregnant when it's taking too long, when it's a delay, when it's quiet, nothing's happening. You're pregnant. Something's about ready to happen. Something's going to happen. Oh, my Lord. Thank you. Praise God. That day, I just want to say, I said, oh, Lord, thank you for showing me this. I mean, I was worked over by the Lord that day. I was worked over. Any of you been worked over by God on many occasions? Countless. I don't know how many now. Anyway, let's go to the 57th verse of Luke, taking us through the different verses. Aren't these wonderful verses? The word of God is wonderful. Sometimes I'll just read a word, and one word gets me full, gets me happy, gets me full. It says, now the time, this is a chronos time, had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it came about that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. And his mother answered and said, no, indeed, but he shall be called John. No, indeed. I just really feel like what the Lord is birthing in us is more grace. Amen. She's about ready to birth John. And what God is about birthing in us, more grace, more kindness, more. Don't you know this is how the gifts operate? We're wanting to see the gifts operate. It operates by love. The gifts don't operate sometimes because there's not enough love for the gifts to operate. You see, we want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs and wonders and miracles is moved upon by the love of God, by the grace of God. It operates through him. More of his grace, more of his gift and anointing is going to come because each and every one of us is more filled with the Holy Spirit, more full of the love, more full of grace, more full of forgiving. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. I'm speaking it in the spiritual realm. Forgiveness. It's almost like what in America, I don't know what you call it here, but in America, it's called a Roto-Rooter, you know, and when you got to unstop something, you unstop something and something's going whatever and it's going through. That's what I found. And in the spirit, I just saw it. In the spirit, I just saw it was just like, something going through what I was saying, forgiveness. I saw it just plowing through something. I saw it in the spirit plowing through something, plowing through something. Something's happening right now in the spiritual realm of forgiveness. It's plowing through something. Something's happening in forgiveness right now. It's taking hold, taking hold. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then it says, And they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by that name. And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows. His name is John. His name is John. And they were astonished. They were astonished. His name was John, which was not in the family at all. His name was John. His name was Grace. And the world is going to be astonished that we are people of grace, that we are people that love, that we are people that love everybody, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter how evil they may have done things, no matter what, no matter who they are. When you can love your enemy like Christ loves us, then I want to tell you something. That person has a really good chance of being saved, has a really good chance of turning around. Love your enemy, the scripture tells us. Doesn't that the scripture tell us something like that? That we're to love our enemy? We're supposed to be praying for our enemy? Some things just happened to me recently. It's even happened years ago, and something just happened even very recently that tried to ruin my reputation. And I thought, well, Christ didn't have a reputation. I guess I don't either. And I was determined to love and forgive because this person lambasted me in such a way, it was so unrealistic. I could not believe it. I could not believe it. And the people that were around could not believe it. And there was such hatred and jealousy that was there. It came after me. And I thought, what did I do? Well, it wasn't about me. It was about the person that gone through such hurt. And this person tried to humiliate me, say the most awful things about me, lies, tried to speak against me so that others will come against me. And then what did the Lord say to me? This is your great challenge. Because you now have been given a wonderful opportunity to forgive. And you have been given a wonderful opportunity to live the life that you talk about. And so now you are going to have to forgive. And not only forgive, you are going to have to love. And not only love, guess what? You're going to have to act like it never happened. It never happened. And this happened to me some years ago when someone tried to blackball me so that I would never speak in some churches nearby. And then I cried. I did all types of things. I was so miserable because it was not my fault. I did nothing wrong. But what ended up happening is this. A few years later, I forgave this person and I prayed for this person. And a few years later, this person called me on the phone crying and said, "Would you please forgive me? I don't know how many years I have left to live, but the Lord has told me that I'm to ask for your forgiveness because I need to go to everybody that I have harmed. And would you forgive me?" And I told this person, "I forgave you way back then. And yes, I say to you now, I forgive you and I love you." And this person was crying on the phone, and I thought, I had to go through this for several years? But that evidently was something the Lord wanted to work inside of me that I did not know needed to be worked. And it wasn't my fault. It was nothing that I did wrong. It was just the other person. But it never is one way. It is both ways. Always both ways. How we're going to deal with something that we didn't do or say, or when someone's trying to blackball you to keep you from fulfilling your ministry. They really can't do that. But the Lord uses that to build character inside of you, to break us, to humble us. But here's the key thing about righteous man called Zacharias. This is the key verse here that I want to kind of start to wrap up. The 63rd verse, and it says, "He asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, 'His name is John.'" As I said, they are all astonished. "And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. And he began to speak in praise of God, and fear came on all those living around them. And all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them kept them in mind, saying, 'What then will this child turn out to be?' For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him." One of the most key things that the Lord was speaking to me that morning is that the prophetic word came forth after a process of time when Zacharias was taken into a time of silence, when it was taken into a time of listening to the Lord, being dealt with by God. Sometimes we're too quick to prophesy. Sometimes we're too quick to pronounce. Or sometimes we're just too quick to do. And I've been guilty of it. Has anybody else been guilty of it? You don't have to raise your hand because I know you have. Once, at least. But when the pure prophetic word was ready to come forth, then the silence ended. There's been a dearth in the land of the prophetic voice and the purity of the prophetic voice. There have been many different prophetic voices, and many of them are wonderful, and many of them are on target. But there's a day that's coming that shall be a prophetic voice more pure than it has ever been in what we've experienced up to this point, because there has been a season, a long season of silence. There's been a long season, a sense of a dearth in the land of just silence and just nothing happening, only in certain key places, in certain key spots. And we know we're even in this church because of the mighty move of God that has transpired in this place. We're here for even, some have even said, there must be a residual. But I want to tell you something. The Lord is not only about residual. The Lord is about filling us to overflowing. The Lord is about filling us to overflowing. And the Lord is about ready to open our mouths, because we've been in a season of silence where the prophetic word will come forth with power and authority as we have not known in purity, because we've been worked on by God. Lovingly and caringly by the Lord. We have not been punished. The silence has not been punishment. The lack of the gifts operating have not been punishment. What has been happening is the grace of God. His grace, He knows exactly when to bring it about in our lives. He knows exactly what to do, because He knows it is all about Him, because He knows it's all about us, and because it's all about us, it's all about Him, because He knows what to do to make it aright. Amen and amen and amen. I want us to believe the Lord for something wonderful to happen to each one of us individually. It already has happened, even last night with the opening. But we still have the rest of today, and we have tomorrow. That before we leave, that His job, His work will be completed. My sister on the guitar. I want you to just play. Let's play. That we believe that the Lord's going to complete the work that He has purposed for our time here together and our time here with Him. As I said before, it is not just a residual and an impartation that comes from this place because of the thousands upon thousands that have come in and out of here. But it's all about Him. It's all about His presence and Him doing a mighty work. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. And at this time next year, this is what happened to Sarah. Sarah would have a son. That was in Genesis 18:14. In Jeremiah 32:17, it says, Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, and by thine outstretched arm, nothing is too difficult for thee. In Matthew 19:26, it says, and looking upon them, Jesus said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. The main scripture that God gave me that morning was in Luke 1:37, and it's a scripture that I eat, I drink, I breathe daily. Luke 1:37 says, for nothing will be impossible with God. I wake up with that scripture. I go to bed with that scripture. Nothing is impossible with God. I just want us to stand for a few more moments. Just play. Just keep playing. Yeah, Jesus. Lord, we just want to take a few moments. Our dreams and our visions. Father, we want to take those things and we just lay them at your feet. Our prayers, oh God, even as Zacharias prayed, and you heard him while he was praying and you agreed, but you knew all the things that he went through mentally and emotionally, and you did not put him down for it. You just shut him up. But Father, this is where we want to be this morning. We want to be quiet in our spirit that we can hear you. We want to allow you, Father, to just speak to us your fresh dream, your fresh vision, oh God, for us individually. But Father, we are also grabbing a hold of what you're speaking to all of GCMF, oh God. Father, coming, Father, in oneness, oh God, in Jesus' name. Father, we're wanting more of your presence, more of your blessing. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, right now for filling us, oh God. Filling us, oh Father. Filling us, oh God. Oh, Lava Sunday, Lava Makoyandere, Masiandere, Wasola Makiata. Ah, La Masandere Makiata, the Masandere Makiata. Just breathe it in. Breathe in, breathe out. Allow the Holy Spirit to just fill and refresh, refresh and renew out of the wells deep within inside of you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow. The impossible dreams, the dreams are going to come true in his way and in his time. The things that God has put down deep within inside of your well that is going to start to bring forth. Just open your mouth and allow the Holy Spirit to just move in you, move through you, just move through you, in you, through you. Just take a deep breath. Sometimes you just need to take a deep breath. Release, oh Father. I thank you right now, Father. Releasing, oh God, those, oh God, that have felt burdened. God, those, oh Father, that have just felt, Lord, There's been something that has hindered them. Father, release them right now in Jesus' name. God, that well down deep inside, releasing, oh God, your love. Your love, your joy, oh God, releasing, oh God, within, oh Father, pouring up, oh God, pouring out, oh Father, releasing, oh God, within, oh Lord, each and every one of us right now, releasing, oh God, your refreshing, your freedom, your liberty, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you right now for your freedom, right now. I thank you for your freedom. Freedom. Freedom, oh God. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom, oh God. Freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. Oh, Father, we receive, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Father, it's not only from deep within us, but Father, from you, oh God, down, you in and you upon. Father, we thank you right now. We receive, oh God, more of your presence, increasing, oh God, stirring within us the gift of the Holy Spirit within us right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All the limits and all the caps, Father, we thank you. You take it off in Jesus' name. Father, you've called different ones, oh Father, to be and to do. Father, right now, God, give them, oh Lord, that confirmation. Give them, oh Father, that confirmation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Grab it right now, even here. I hear, grab it, take it. Grab it, take it. Grab it, take it. It's like grabbing a hold and taking that promise that he told you. And just agree with him. Agree with him. Agree with him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Jesus, thank you.
Thank you, Father. There is a fresh breath just coming right now. A fresh breath coming right now. A fresh breath. A fresh breath. A fresh breath coming right now. A fresh breath. A fresh breath. Breath of God. Breath of God. Breath of God, I thank you. A breath of God. A breath of God. Thank you, Lord. Breath of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Breath of God. Thank you, Lord. A breath of God. Breath of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you took away the fear and the intimidation away from Zacharias. Your kindness, your love took it away. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking it away of us, oh God, taking it away of your people, oh Father. Thank you for taking it away. Thank you. Thank you, Father, taking away.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him. Praise him. We thank him. We thank him. We thank him. We thank him.
Thank you, my Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How great is my God. You said,
Sharalaba. What he said is, there's many of you that are tired. It's like a runner that's running. You're about at the end of your breath. And his sister was speaking and she said, take that second breath, take that breath. He's wanting to infuse in you that second wind that comes not from within you, but from the throne of God. He wants to blow inside of you the direction of the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Spirit of God. So wherever you are in that place today, don't stop. Take that second breath and let Him carry you and blow the wind of direction.
Nothing to do with you. It's me. I want to save those around about you and that are within your influence. I will equip you. If you think you cannot do it, you qualify immediately. You see, it's me. It's all about me. It can't be about you anymore. I don't care if you don't like the color of the carpet. I don't care if you like this or if you like that. You see, it's about those that need to come into the kingdom of God. It's about them, not about you. It's about your relatives that don't know Him yet. Those are first on my priority. Because you've called out to me. And then just do what I've asked you to do. Don't think whether it will work or will not work. Continue to lay your hands on people and to pray. Do not look for the results. Do not look for the results. The results will run after you. Because that's the way I want you to do it.
Yea, my children, I would say unto thee, yea, I love thee with an everlasting love. I am the Lord of lords. I am the King of kings. You are my sons. You are my daughters. And I desire to see you rise above every circumstance, every situation in your life. Set thine eyes upon me. I love thee with an everlasting love. I desire for you to believe with all your heart that I have spoken unto thee, that I will lead thee, I will guide thee. Look not to the left, look not to the right, but look unto me. Look unto me as the author and finisher of your faith. Know that I love thee with an everlasting love. I will guide, I will direct, and thou wilt be victorious. thou wilt be victorious if thou set thine eyes upon me. Believe in me. Trust in me. I desire great and mighty things in your lives, in this church, in this nation. I love thee with an everlasting love. Amen, amen.
The quiet time. When I'm silent in your life, was I not quiet that night when I was in the boat? Wasn't I quiet? Maybe I snored, I don't know. But I was quiet because I was at peace with my Father. But you awoke me. You awoke me for something that you have already been told to do. Calm the storm, first in your own life. Ah, and then you can calm it in others. And the calming comes with forgiveness, as my sister has preached this night. Forgiveness of yourself first. That is the hardest thing because, yes, you say, yes, Lord, I know you have forgiven me. But, and I say, but what? If you're forgiven, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because it was finished. That part has been finished. Now comes the work. Yes, I've showed you. I've walked before you. I've led you. I've told you. Now it's time to do the work. And I tell you now, just as I stood up and calmed the storm, it's time for you to get up and start the storm. Start the storm. Be my tornadoes. Be my hurricanes. Just when the enemy thinks he's sailing into the port of somebody's life next to you, you say, you're not sailing into anybody's port, any of my children. Ha ha! You're going back out to sea. You can't, no matter how hard you try. You can zig and you can zag, devil. But my children are coming awake. My children are coming awake. They're beginning to understand. They're beginning to get it. They're beginning to get it. It's not an individual thing, is it? No, it's not. I've called you my church. Now, church... You know, another word for church, my children, is unity. And it's not unity with each other. It's unity with me and my plan and what I have to do. And when you can get in unity with me, then you will be in unity with each other. Ah, and the devil can't find any place to land because it is finished. And that part is done. I have done it. It is finished, and now it's your turn. So listen to your heart. Not with your mind, but listen to your heart, because that is where I speak to you. In that silent time, most of the time you're always talking to me and you're saying, I want this, or I need this, and my brother needs that. And then you get up and walk away before I even have a chance to say anything to you. Oh, sit down. Grab your coffee if you have to. But sit down and just listen as I whisper in your ear the goodness of my Father. And as I said, I only do and I only say what my Father says, and I only do what He shows me to do. I will show you that. I will show you how I knew that, how I saw my Father, and you shall see my Father as well, and do as He does and say as He does. Okay, children. It's in your hands. Rise up. I'm waking you up. As you woke me up in the boat, I'm waking you up. It's time to rise up and cause the storm in the enemy's life. No more battles will be won. You know the war is finished. You know I've already won the war, but there's battles to come. Let's lose no more. I've given you the power. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord would say to you that you have done a good work today. You have refreshed, you've encouraged, and in doing so, you've let them see me through you. You've put aside your heart and the burdens that would like to be there. You've set them aside for me. As I set them aside for them, because I loved my Father, you also have done that for me. And in the days ahead, you will reap what you have sown. And you will see others come into that place of being able to set aside themselves to do what I have asked them to do. And in doing so, they have come to a new place, a new level. And they will see the new level of me as you will see a new level in you. And in the words that you speak will be filled with wisdom and knowledge and revelation that they will receive and walk in. Continue to do and be who I've called you to be. Look not at man for influence or for acceptance or for acknowledgement in any way that would take you from seeing and hearing me. You are who you are, forget not, and go on and do what I've called you to do. These are great days ahead. They will trial, and they will even bring temptation. But what I have placed in you is that which will stand in these days. You are who I say you are. Go and be who you are in me.
Thank you.
The Lord is saying this morning, out of barrenness, I will bring something great. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, Sarah was barren, I brought Isaac, laughter, joy. When parents of Samson were barren, I brought Samson, a great warrior. When Hannah was barren, I brought Samuel, a prophetic voice, a judge. When Elizabeth was barren, I brought John, who prepared the way for the Lord. You're feeling you are barren. Nothing is growing. Souls are not coming to the Lord. The church is stagnant. But I am going to do something great and mighty in your life. Thank you, Savior. We take this word. Lord, we come against all kind of barrenness and we pray for the fruitfulness in Jesus' name. And let God's people say, hey, amen, and let it happen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.